appreciate you so very much, and I certainly love you in the Lord so much, and appreciate your stand for missions.
Thank you very much, Pastor Abels, and good morning to all of you. It's a delight to be back in the house of the Lord today, and I'm honored to be able to stand in the pulpit and talk to you about what I think is the greatest challenge in the Bible, and that is the Great Commission given to us by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord. I thank Pastor for allowing me to have these free Sundays, and you'll be gathered in here, and I hope that you don't fall away. But anyway, I have kind of outlined in this way. Today I plan to speak a little bit about the importance of missions in the local church. Next week we'll be talking about what pastors mentioned, the Lord willing, the introduction and instruction concerning faith promise. Give you a little bit of the history of it and the background of it and so forth. And then, of course, we'll have the scripture to go with it. And then the final Sunday, which will be three Sundays from today, Lord willing, on the last toward the end of the month, we'll be bringing our lesson will be on performance or involvement. So today, the importance, next week, instruction, and the third week, involvement. If you want to put it another way, today we talk about the priority of missions in the church. Next week, we talk about the plan given to the church. And the third week will be the performance of the church. So that kind of gives you just a little bit of where we're going in regard to what we plan to do here these next 3 weeks. We're talking about missions. And, of course, we'll be saying more about this is without doubt one of the great outstanding missionary churches in all of America when it comes to per capita giving for missions above our tithe through faith promise. So God has been good to the church, and you have honored the Lord. And so we want to keep it going. 3 weeks from today or 4 weeks from today, we'll be renewing our commitments and see what God will do for us. It just never ceases to be amazement what God has done. Now, let me just put, I think I've got a little chart up. Can you read that okay back yonder? Anyway, a missions conference is a local church in a business meeting deciding the fate or the destiny of the heathen. Think about that. Isn't that true? We're voting on Jesus, and we're voting on what we're going to do to get the gospel out to the ends of the world. So you have your Bible this morning. We're going to turn to a very familiar portion of Scripture, and that is in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 28 to verses 28 to 30. Verse 28 to 30. That's it. Okay, so you have your Bible. Turn there. We'll read that Scripture, and then I want to make some comments on what, as an introduction to you today. And I may, if I may be allowed to do so, and I trust I can, and that is to repeat the statement of faith that the church has, which is a very remarkable and wonderful article of faith. The articles of faith basically in both Baptist churches down through the years past have been just basically the same. But you have rewritten yours just a little bit in this area of missions, and it's a very good one. And so you don't have to have your booklets for today. But I want to read it and make some just brief comment and not overlap basically what someone taught about 3 weeks ago. Even though if it was 3 weeks ago, probably if it was my case, I would have forgotten most of what you already told me. So anyway, it doesn't hurt to repeat. Is that an amen?
Amen.
Okay. So remember this thought here, and then you can read. A missions conference is a local church in a business meeting deciding the destiny or the fate of the heathen, that is the lost world. Now, also, I made mention to some last Sunday, I think the young ladies that were sitting in here, I made mention, I said, Sunday school is a good time to memorize Scripture. Will you agree to that? And I gave them a verse of Scripture, and I want to give it to all of us to memorize the Scripture. Now, if you're over 20 years of age, I know some say, well, I just can't remember very much. Yes, you can. But anyhow, the verse of Scripture that I want you to memorize, I'd like for you to memorize. You don't have to, but I'd like for you to, because a word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And also, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you plant the word of God into your heart, as we've been told so many times by our pastor, it is that which will grind you on through. And the scriptures you learn when you're young are those that will stick with you till you get to be 90 years old. And I find out lots of times I'm laying in bed, I get in the pulpit here and say, well, remember, I couldn't do it. I'll probably fade away. But I lay in bed sometimes at night, and I'm just laying there, and I'm quoting Scripture. And it's always a delight to my soul that I can review the Scriptures that God gave to me by memory many long years ago. The scripture to memorize is Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. How many of you young ladies memorized that already? Oh, you didn't work on it this week? Okay. So some of you did, some of you did. Well, anyway, work on it. And then there's one other scripture to memorize, and that would be 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 5, because that has to do with what is the gospel. And you don't have missions without the gospel. So that'll be working in. But anyhow, I want you to read the scripture. You don't have to stand to read the scripture, but let me read the scripture to you, and then we're going to be making some comments on the importance of missions in the local church. The importance of missions in the local church is what we want to speak about today, basically. And because everything we do centers around the Great Commission as far as the local church. There's nothing more important than what the church does to get the gospel out to the ends of the world. Because as we are sitting here together this whole missions month, just 1 hour, the rest of the services will be tied in with whatever the pastor has and so forth, which are outstanding messages, by the way, from the book of Mark. And we're getting down to right where the resurrection takes place toward the end of Mark. It's amazing how that's turning out this year, that you'll have the crucifixion and then you'll have the resurrection and so forth. So, but in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and that's the key word, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, or even to the end of the day of the world. Amen. So that's the basic text that we have for today, and we'll be talking about some other things in regard to it. Let me just read again the Berean Baptist Church statement. I had it enlarged, it's outstanding. It's very, very good. And it's good for us to just review it. Even though you had it a couple, 3 weeks ago, let's just read that statement. Let me read that statement to you again, if I may. I'll do my best. Now, most of you probably know I've got macular, and my eyes do crazy things sometimes. But anyway, missions. We believe that God has given the church a great commission to proclaim the gospel to the nations, that they might be great, that a great multitude from every nation, tongue, and tribe, and ethnic group and language group might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be as ambassadors of Christ. We must use all available means to go to all who have not heard the message of salvation. That's basically what it's all about, isn't it? So that one day they shall come from every tongue and tribe. And Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says, and he said, and they sung a new song, for they shall sing, there shall be those who shall come from every tongue and tribe and nation, singing the message, singing the song of grace and redemption unto the Lord. Now the rest of the text, the rest of our church statement says, message of salvation, both at home and abroad, we are not to wait for them to come to us. Further, we to believe this great commission outlined God's particular plan for missions, which is threefold: evangelism, baptism, and discipleship. And most biblical from the most biblical form of missions is the carrying out all these aspects of the commission by the planting and establishing of New Testament Baptist churches. Then I just added to that, these New Testament Baptist churches being established around the world by our missionaries that go forth from the churches set out, that they are to do the work that we're doing here at home. They are to train, win souls, of course, and to teach New Testament Baptist churches to be self-governing, self-supporting, and self-propagating. That means that they become self-sustaining and self-supporting and self-perpetuating. That is the job of our church. That's the job of every New Testament church in around the world, where they hear the gospel and people are called to believe. And we'll have more to say about that. But in connection with that, and I'll not deal with that text today, but when you have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which give to us the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Savior, gave to us, you have that brought into action, of course, at the day of Pentecost, And then, but to get it to beyond the Jews, you read, when you read in Acts chapter 13, when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas went out on their first missionary journey, they went out, and what did they do? They were in the church. It's always centered around the church. It's always centered around the local, visible church. And when they went out from the church at Antioch, they went out with one purpose, and that was to evangelize. And when Paul and Barnabas went out, they went out, and they, and when you read in the 13th chapter, when they went to a certain place, and finally, when they were in the synagogue, which was their custom to do, going every Sabbath into the synagogue and reasoning with those regarding the Scripture. And a great sermon that Paul preached in Acts chapter 13, where he tells about the, basically gives a whole plan of salvation from Abraham all the way up to the crucifixion and the resurrection. And so the next week, the Gentiles there in, this was in Antioch of Pisidia, the next week all the Gentiles said, we want to hear this. And so the Gentiles, nearly the whole city came out to hear what Paul and Barnabas had to say. And as a result of that, the Jews there at the synagogue, they got envious, and they drove Paul and Barnabas out of the city, and they went on their way. And when they went on their way, the Apostle Paul answered. I hadn't meant to do this, but now since I'm here, I'm doing it anyway. And they went out from the church at Antioch, and then when they had preached the message and had gone to Pergamos, or Pisidia in Pergamos, then as Paul was going out, he says in Acts chapter 13, you might want to look at it, in Acts chapter 13, verse 46 to 49, and Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. You know, you and I don't have to apologize for the gospel. Now, we don't have to be brash, but we do have to be bold. We need to be bold. Paul and Barnabas, when they preached to the synagogue, and some believed, but when they preached to the Gentiles the following week, and a great multitude believed, and as I already said, it brought envy among the Jews because of their Phariseeism and everything else. And so here's what Paul said, okay, if that's the way you want it, and of course it's exactly what the Lord had said. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Isn't that true in John 1:12? And he also and also said in the book of Acts, chapter 8, chapter 1, verse number 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. How are you going to get to the uttermost parts of the world? It had to have a breaking point somewhere. And here you have it. So in Acts chapter 13, verse 46 to 49, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been preached or spoken unto you, but seeing you put it from you, you make yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, what does that mean? That means all the nations that were not Jewish, and outside of the Jewish nation, there was to all, he said, we're turning to the Gentiles. If you don't want it, the Bible does say in Romans chapter 1, verse 6, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We've done that. But when they rejected, the message is to the Gentiles. And we are in the church age and the Gentile age, and it's come to an end pretty quick. But anyway, he said, we turn ourselves to the Gentiles, verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, and saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that they should be for salvation, even unto the ends of the earth. So you see the picture, don't you? Here's the beginning of getting out the gospel. You'll hear a little bit about that because of faith promise in next week's lesson when we talk about instruction information regarding how faith promise. Faith promise is not a new venture. It's a new venture for most Baptists, but it was in the Bible 2,000 years ago when God printed the word inspired. So in verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. And verse 48, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region about. So there you have basically the scripture that we'll be dealing with all through this week. Now, or this, not this week, but the next 3 weeks probably. Now I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 28, just a few thoughts. There's four or five points. I'll leave with four or five. Well, first of all, the mandate. The mandate to the church. What does the mandate mean? The man means the action or the job or the task. The task that we have before the church. And that's what we want to deal with first of all. So in Matthew's gospel, we call it, did anyone mention the Great Commission? Why do we call it the Great Commission? Well, because, and that's basically, if I had a title for this message besides the importance of missions, it would be that the Lord's last command, the Lord's last command should always be our first concern. Missions is not a maybe, it's a must. We thank God for what the Lord does to our church. More about that later. But we are doing what God has laid upon our hearts to do. And we're not to glory in ourselves. We glory because of God's grace bestowed upon us to do the job of getting out the word. So we call Matthew the Great Commission. And I'll talk about that in a moment. So first of all, the Great Commission, it is a mandate that was given to the church. So why is it great? He said, "Go when the great," in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, if you have it memorized in your mind, "go ye therefore and teach all nations." Jesus, first of all, Jesus said in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth." He had all power. He's got more power than Trump or anyone else. But we're voting for Jesus, but don't forget to vote on Tuesday for your conviction. Beside the point. We're talking about getting the gospel into earth. So the first thing I want to say, the task, the mandate that's given to the church. Why? Because we call Matthew the Great Commission. We call Mark the Go Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke, we call it the Gospel Commission because Jesus said that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then we have in John's gospel, the God blessed commission, because you have there when Jesus said, "I'm giving you the Holy Spirit," and then Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, even so send I you," and he commissioned his disciples. So that was in John, and then in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you have the global commission, and it begins to go out to the globe. Now, first of all, I say to you that the mandate is to the church. It is the Great Commission given to the church. Now, what did he say to do? What is our task? What is our responsibility? You probably had this the other day, but let's just, by magnifying the importance of it all, what is the mandate to the church is go and do what? He said, "Go ye therefore and teach whom? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." That's kind of a threefold commission. Would you agree? So the mandate to the church is, in a nutshell, kind of threefold. And it's all centered around the gospel. More about the gospel later. But if you don't know what the gospel is, let me just give it to you. Well, I'll give it to you anyway. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's why he said, "Go ye therefore," in Matthew's gospel, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That word "teach" means to evangelize. The number one importance and priority of a local church is to evangelize. Not to socialize, but to evangelize. A lot of churches today, including Fundamental Baptists, have come to the point and place where they're just a little social club. Meeting on Sunday morning and singing a few songs, and even if they're fundamental, singing songs, have a choir, go through the motions, and we just have fellowship with each other, and we forget that we have a job to evangelize. That word teach, go and evangelize, that means to make disciples. That is our priority, my beloved. God help us that we will not forget what our priority is, and that we can encourage our younger generation to be diligent in making disciples. Go ye therefore and make disciples. So then secondly, and I've got three word for that, the Great Commission and the gospel threefold. And first of all, to evangelize, that means basically to make disciples, teaching them to come to Christ. And then secondly, I call this, we are to mature disciples, or we are to mark disciples. We are to enroll them. You evangelize them, and then you enroll them. How do people become members of the local church? Is it not through the waters of baptism? That's what I've always been taught and believed and practiced. Absolutely. That we are to get people saved, and then we should do our very best to get those people to follow through into baptism, follow the Lord in believer's baptism. This is identification. This is an enrollment into the church. If you want to put it another way, you teach them, then you tie them, and then you train them. train them to tithe. So you go make disciples, and then you mark them or enroll them, and then thirdly, we are to teach them all things. That is to educate. We are to educate, are we to mature them? People need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly that all begins right here in our local church. And the foundation of that all, and I never apologize for saying it, the greatest tool we have for reaching people and in training people, not only through the powerful preaching of the pulpit on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and all else, but in the Sunday school, you have the opportunity, teachers have an opportunity, one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, to teach people what the doctrines are. That's why I think what we just finished here in our church, the great series that we had on Articles of Faith, is so important, because that is the foundation of all that we believe. I didn't know a thing about that when I got saved 75 years ago, come May. I knew very little about it when I entered into ministry 70 years ago. But I've been talking and teaching and preaching it ever since, and people need to know all of these things. That's why teaching doctrine and discipline and duty is so vital and so important, and that works on an individual basis by the teachers. That's why it's so good to have so many people involved in our Sunday schools and in our church services and so on. Now also, let me say, for America, because the mission starts right here at home in America, and we are in a terrible, terrible decline, not only in morals, not only in money, but also in churches, members are departing, and new believers are fewer and fewer between. It is so important, my dear ones, that we be mindful that if we're going to keep going, if Jesus does not return, I believe he will return soon. I've expected him now for 75 years to come. He hasn't come yet, but he will come. He will come. We're a day closer today than we were a week ago. Yesterday. So anyway, so we make disciples, and then we mark disciples, and then we mature disciples. We mature them. We evangelize them. We enroll them, and then we educate them. In America today, some 60 to 80 million people are young people. 60 to 80 million young people. This was put out by Child Evangelism. They said today in America, between 60 and 80 million young people from 18 years of age to zero are receiving not one word of any kind of Christian training anywhere. Think about it. We are in a decline on biblical knowledge, etc. It's very important. So what is our number one? What is our number one priority in the church? It is that we recognize the task. So not only is it the Great Commission great in its source, because it was Jesus that said, all power is given unto me. Not only is it great in its source, also great in its scope. We live in a world today, how many of you know what the population of the world is today? Well, I'm sure many of you do, but just in a round figure, the world's population today is 7,400,000,000. And in North America, the United States and Canada combined, come short of 400 million. That means in all the other continents of the world, there are more than 7 billion people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the scope is tremendous. The source is great. The scope is great. And then also the message that we have. The message. And this is the second thing I want you to think about. The message for the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I said in Mark's gospel, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a gospel that needs to be brought to the entire world, to the best of our ability. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we will not say more about that today, but I want you to know certainly today, it's what we preach. Yes. You know, there are lots of gospels. Right. There are false gospels. There are corrupted gospels, compromised gospels, all kinds of gospels. But you have in your heart as a member of this church and other churches perhaps, right? I mean, there are many churches, don't misunderstand. But what we have here, we have the pure gospel. Amen. We do have the pure gospel. And thank God for all the other thousands of churches that do have the pure gospel, where it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that is preached. But our message of priority is not only our mandate is tremendous, but also the message is terrific. There is no substitute for the pure gospel. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse number 3, it says there, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So I'm saying to you, beloved, today, we can be blind physically and spiritually in every way, but I'm saying to you, beloved, you don't have to be very blind at all to know that the God of this world is in control of this world. He's the prince and power of the air. And he's doing everything he can. And he really will do everything he can to destroy a church like this one. Must not forget it. He's not going to let up on you. And when you're giving all this money to missions and it's spreading 100 missionaries around the world, you can put it down. The devil doesn't like it. You're entering his territory. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why did Jesus come? Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15 or 2:15, he said that, I'm getting one of those senior moments all of a sudden. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And then he says there that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Said Paul, I'm a chief. We're all chief of sinners because we're all born that way. And so is the whole world. Yes, I'm saying, so what we preach is the gospel. That's why we call Luke's gospel the gospel commission. Matthew, the great commission. Mark, the gold commission. Luke, the gospel commission, because it says in verse number 45 that he said unto them, he spake unto them these words when he came to them, and then said in verse number 45, and opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. That's education as well, isn't it? That's that they might understand the scripture, and said unto them, it is written, understand the scripture. And said unto them, as it is written, and if it it behooved Christ to suffer, it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. That is our message. You have to have the message of salvation. That repentance must be preached. And that still works today, by the way. So that's basically now. And that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you're witness of these things. Now, thirdly today, let's move to the method. Let's move to the method that we have of the importance of missions. The importance of missions. See what I can't see the clock back there, but I got this in my hand here. Okay. So thirdly today, what's the first thought today? The mandate, the task. What is the second? It is the message, the gospel. Repentance. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the thirdly? The method. What is the method of receiving and reaching out? And I turn to John's gospel for this. You want to turn to it? You may. in John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. You have your Bible. The method of reaching, the method to accomplish the mandate of the church. And here's what he said in John chapter 20. And seeing and selecting and sending a missionary, then in verse, here's what it says. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I call this the God Breathed Commission. He promised the Holy Spirit. When you read the last words of Jesus in, I call it his graduation address, commencement address, from John chapter 13 to verse chapter 17, you have there the promises that he made. In the 14th chapter of John, in the 12th verse, he tells his disciples, and greater works than these shall, if I go not away, well, if I go away, Jesus said, greater works shall you do than what has been done. He said, what can be greater than what Jesus did? Well, what he did, where he did, cannot be greater. But he set the example. But you know, Jesus was never more than 90 miles from home. And he said to the disciples, you're going to do greater things when I give to you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the church is empowered by the Spirit of God. And by the way, if you don't have the power of the Spirit of God upon your life, upon the church, we're going to be a dead church anyhow. So he breathed on them to receive the Holy Ghost. And he said, John again, John 14, 12 said, and greater things than these shall you do. What are those greater things? It was more than the healing. It was the preaching, the burial, the message of the cross. Because when Jesus spoke that in John chapter 14, he was on his way to the cross, in the upper room. When he spoke these words that we just read to you in John chapter 20, he had just come off the cross out of the grave. He's resurrected. And by the way, if we didn't have a resurrected Savior, we wouldn't have a Savior nor a message. So the method is that we are going to do taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And how's it been done? Next week we'll be talking about instruction about the faith promise. But let me say, as we come to a conclusion today, it is by faith, first of all. What we do for the Lord ought to be by faith, whether it's our tithing. The just shall live by faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do you know the will of God? By the Word of God. How do you know the work of God? By the Word of God. Read the Bible, as we are commanded to do so many times. It is faith that sees the invisible. When you're giving your faith promise, which is not your tithe, nor a portion of your tithe, which you'll learn more later, but when you give your offering above your tithe for missions, what are you seeing about it? I think we give, and faith allows us to see the invisible. We can see the multitudes of people that are hearing the gospel because of missionaries like the ones that we help to support, and multitudes of others that have gone to the nations of the world, and they are doing what we have said to do and what we do, and we see souls saved. That's basically why we see the invisible. We see what is happening. So faith sees the invisible. It believes the impossible. Do we believe that the gospel changes lives? Amen. Do we believe that it's the gospel only that can change lives? Right. Amen. It is the gospel only. Amen. It's important. That's why we say today the importance of missions in the local church. It sees, not only does it see the invisible, believe him, but it receives the impossible. I don't know if this is the time to do it, but I'm going to close with this anyway today. If I have it here. Oh, my. I'm not sure I got the right one. But here it is. Daniel, are you here? Where's Daniel? Man, you backslidden. By that I mean sitting on the back row. I want you to read this letter, please. I read it, but I can't see it. So this is a letter from Randall Starwalt. In fact, there's two of them here. Our church supports the Starwalts in Kenya, right?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that true, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I knew we did. Well, anyhow, for those that may not have heard or may not remember, Randy and Phyllis Starwalt were saved as bus kids over here at Mount Vernon a number of years ago now, 45 years or more, I guess. But anyway, they were saved as 15-year-old kids. And God called them to the mission field. They went to the mission field. And the work that has been allowed to go is just beyond measure. And if I didn't know that Randall is a man of truth, I would say, this can't be. I wouldn't believe this. But because of who said it, I believe it to be as he said. And so I want Daniel just to read this, just to give you some idea. We are to evangelize here and there and everywhere, and in this particular letter, it's from Kenya, East Africa. Randy and Phyllis went there in 1977 or 78, along that time, about 77, 78, about 40 years, 39 or 40 years. They took over a ministry in a place called Eldoret. It was a country city, and out from there, villages after villages, be a little village, another 3 or 4 miles, be another little cluster of people, and a church had been established. So that there are over 300 congregations that have been established in the ministry of the Starwalts. They've not had other missionaries to help them. They had one for a little while, and they had their son-in-law for a little while. But basically, it's been Randy and his wife, Phyllis. They've gone out and worked faithfully, steadfastly. And they have 4 Bible institutes, and he spends most of his time now is going to the institutes and keep on training the nationals, because nationals are training nationals, and churches are starting churches, and churches are starting churches, so that it is an expanded ministry. But if you'll just read that, please, I appreciate it. I think that's the right one. Go ahead.
Brother Starwalt says, "Dear pastor and church, shall we gather at the river? Baptism is an important step for new believers."
You believe that?
Amen.
Amen.
He says, "I've been blessed to have seen over 50,000 people follow the Lord in believers' baptism since God called us and brought us to Kenya. Almost all baptisms are done in a river or stream. I've baptized people where crocodiles and hippopotamus have been spotted in the water. I've walked in mud so deep on a river's edge I thought I was going to sink in over my head. I was once with 2 other preachers who baptized over 200 new believers in Turkana. Because this was in the desert in northern Kenya, we could only baptize after the rains came. I had the joy to baptize 121 at Valley Baptist Church of Eldoret. This was the largest group I've baptized by myself. But through,
by the way, that church runs over 1,000 in attendance. Pastored by one of the men that was saved as a drunkard out of one of those villages there in Eldoret.
It says, but through any problems we have faced, there is so much joy when you can baptize a new believer. And then he encloses a picture and says, this baptism of young men took place at Mutufu, Uganda. We are so excited with all the new churches and work going on the mountain Elgon. This past year, 320 people followed the Lord in believers' baptism.
In that one church.
Yes, sir.
Hey, well, thank you, Brother Daniel.
Yes, sir.
You can stay up front because you're going to be busy here in a minute.
Okay.
We have a great young song leader, don't we? I love these guys around here. They're great. Now, closing off. Did you get the picture?
Yeah.
You know, like I say, over 50,000 people have been baptized through the ministry of this one missionary who is supported on a monthly basis by Berean Baptist Church. Isn't that something?
Amen.
That doesn't count all the others around the world. You think you're going to have some treasures in heaven? I think there's going to be a few. There's going to be a little, don't you?
Yep.
Amen? All right, so much for the importance of missions in the local church. It is to evangelize, it is to enroll, baptize, and it is to educate, teaching them to observe all things. And then, if we were to add that, we would also say, God has some that have come up through the ranks of our church and are coming up that God needs to make replacements of this person. And people like Randall Sterwald, who've been there 40 years, they may have 20 years out, they might not have. Somebody's got to go. Keep it going, keep it going. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. And Pastor, thank you, Heavenly Father, again for the joy of being in this hour. Trust, Lord, that the time spent has been profitable for all of us. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Bless now the preaching service, the singing of the song, the choir. And pray, O Lord, if there's one person today that walks within these doors that's not saved, Lord, all we've said this morning may not mean much to them, except your Holy Spirit will speak to their hearts with the message we're going to hear shortly, and they will repent and receive Christ as their personal Savior. Might they realize they must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And we'll thank you for the victories and for the joys, and thank you for every person. Thank you, Father, for the faith of the faithful in their participation in prayer and in mission giving. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so very much.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Just as a follow-up to that, there's a letter by, or maybe it was Brother Sterwalt's report a couple of years ago. He talked about how that when he first went there in 78, that things were slower in the beginning. And there was only one church and one congregation. And then after 4 or 5 years coming, going on deputation, then there was another congregation that started. But somewhere around the 20th year mark, it just began to bloom and just began to expand. And that is so much the importance of a man who's called to go somewhere and he stays there. He makes it a lifelong call because when you're in the middle of the ministry at 20 years of age or 25 or 30, you can't see what God's going to do for the next 30 or 40 years unless you stick it out. And Brother Sterwalt is a great, great example of a Missouri bus kid who just remained faithful to the Great Commission in a country like Kenya. So praise the Lord for that. Then I would also mention one more thing. Sharon Dove spent time with Brother Sterwalt and worked in his ministry there as a nurse and helped in that. So one of our very own church members worked in that ministry. And I don't even know how long. I'd ask her if she was here, but of course she's dealing with the death of her father. So anyhow, just give you those two things right there. All right, you're dismissed for all of 3 minutes. All right.